We're going to move to Samson. It says Jephthah, but we're just going to move, speed it up here a little and go to Samson and read the entire chapter of Samson's marriage, his first marriage. Somebody asked this morning whether I would take the opportunity to say happy birthday to my wife, whose birthday is today, and I said no, I already did that, but it's only every 7 years I get this opportunity to do this publicly, so you know I do wish her a happy birthday. So happy birthday, Margaret, and number 41 already. And Jerome, I understand it's your birthday today as well, correct? So LMA, do not forget to wish and happy birthday to Jerome, 41 as well, I understand. Something like that. I think Jerome's 47 or so, right? 46. It's not in the bulletin, but we do know it's your birthday, Jerome. Judges chapter 14. We will read the entire chapter. Samson went down to Timnah, and he saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." His father and mother replied, "Isn't there an acceptable woman amongst your relatives or amongst all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me. She's the right one for me." His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines. At that time, they were ruling over Israel. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards them. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down to and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. In it was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out with his hands and ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they ate it too. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Now his father went down to see the woman, and Samson made a feast there, as was customary for bridegrooms. When he appeared, he was given 30 companions. "Let me tell you a riddle," Samson said to them. "If you can give me an answer within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes." "Tell me your riddle," they said. "Let's hear it." He replied, "Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet." For 3 days, they could not give the answer. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, "Coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to rob us?" Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, "You hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer." I haven't even explained it to my father or mother," he replied. "So why should I explain it to you?" I can just see he's off to very touchy grounds here on this this wedding. "I haven't explained it to my mother or father. So why should I explain it to you?" She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. So on the seventh day, he finally told her, because she continued to press him. She, in turn, explained the riddle to her people. Before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" Samson said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to the friend who had attended, who had attended him at his wedding. Thus far, the reading of God's word. We're going through the series of judges here for those who are visiting here this morning. And we've come to this judge called Samson. Well, no one can read the story of Samson, and we only read part of it, and there's the other well-known stories as well within his life, without thinking, this is a tragedy. This fellow, Samson. Samson, of course, without doubt, is one of the most colorful figures in the Bible. But in addition to being so strong and fearless and such a heroic figure, Samson has also been called by many defiant brute, an irresponsible practical joker, and an oversexed clown. Sad to say, Samson is all of this and more. All of this and more. As much as he has going for him, there's almost as much, you could say, against him. Samson's life, if you will, you could say, simply put, a riddle. Samson's life, simply put, is a riddle. I don't know if you know this or not, but Samson doesn't just come up in the Old Testament, but his name comes up in the New Testament as well. In that passage in Hebrews that we know as the Hall of Faith, the Hall of Faith. He is a hero of the faith. And it is included there in chapter 11 of Hebrews. He's put alongside of people like Abraham and Moses. And the writer of Hebrews 11 says this in verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about, and here are some of the judges we've gone through. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, which we didn't look at here. David, Samuel, and the prophets. And the writer of Hebrews goes on to say this, through faith they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in the battle to conquer foreign enemies. So take note, whose weakness was turned to strength. Whose weakness was turned to strength. So Samson is one of those heroes of the faith. And when I think of that list, and you may remember some of the names, Gideon, he really wasn't that great a man of faith. Barak, Deborah was much better, more faithful than Barak. And in some respect, it's encouraging to know that just ordinary men of faith like Gideon, Barak, Samson are on this hall of faith. So it should be encouraging for us as we think about our faith life as well. But before Samson was born, God had a special place for him, marked him off, raised him up to perform a very important task. He called him to be a judge, to deliver the people of Israel. He was a type of savior, if you will. As we know from this series, the people of Israel continue to go through those cycles, those periods. And they're in a bad way with their religious disobedience and their lifestyles and whatnot and their carelessness towards God at this moment in history. And here we're talking of the Philistines being a force against them. And it seems like every nation around them seems to take their turn at getting at the people of Israel. Now it's the Philistines' turn. But before Samson was born, and this is chapter 13, which we didn't read, the angel of the Lord appeared to his mother and told him, or told her, that her son, Samson, would be a Nazarite. A Nazarite. The book of Numbers tells us what a Nazarite is to be. Basically has three distinguishing points. First one, a Nazarite must not ever drink alcohol or use grapes in any form. Why? Because alcohol, because wine is a symbol in the Bible, a symbol in Scripture of earthly joy. Earthly joy. It's there to cheer the heart. The Nazarite, on the other hand, was to find his joy in the Lord. Simply put, his joy in the Lord. Second, a Nazarite was called upon not to cut his hair, not to cut his hair. It was meant to set him apart. You could just see it right away when you met this gentleman, just by his hair. It set him apart. We get a clue that this person is a different person. In the New Testament, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, he says this, does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a disgrace to him? It's a disgrace to him. So a Nazarite was set apart, not to be so much shamed upon, but he just accepted his role of being disgraced upon, if you will, shamed upon, and that he was different than those around him. Third, a Nazarite was also called upon never to touch a dead body. Because to touch a dead body was to make him unclean. As much as Samson knows that he is a Nazarite, that he's set apart from God for a special task, a special duty, yet when you quickly look at his life, it reveals that when it comes to having a sense of calling, a sense of vocation, a sense of duty, Samson sort of chalks up a goose egg. He really doesn't sense it, doesn't live it. Samson, you see, is not just your average Nazarite. Not every Nazarite was promised the enormous strength and power that he was promised if he kept his vows. Samson, however, is given that enormous, incredible physical strength that is capable single-handedly of delivering his people from the Philistines. Unfortunately, and this is the tragedy, Samson repeatedly displays a dreadful lack of common sense. As we begin reading here in our chapter in chapter 14, Samson immediately goes down to the town of Timnah, it says there, a city within the territory of the Philistines. And he promptly gets attracted, he promptly lusts after the first Philistine woman he comes across, it seems. So he runs home, he tells his mom and dad that he has found the girl of his dreams, and he insists that they go get her. Obviously a different culture, things are done totally different back then. As you can guess, this doesn't exactly go over well with mom and dad back home. Not only have they not met her, they have questions about her background. Chapter 14, verse 3, it says this, Samson, isn't there an acceptable woman amongst your relatives or amongst all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson, in an act of defiance to his parents and disobedience really to the laws of God, says to his mom and dad, get her. He says, go get her. She's the right one for me. She's the right one for me. Well, during this time, as we know from our study here in the book of Judges and the history of the people of Israel, Israel is spiraling out of control down this downward, permissive, godless lifestyle. The main problem, as we have said before in this series, is that no one is paying attention to God's laws and ways. Several times throughout this book, it says that one line, in those days, every man did what was right in their own eyes. Every man did what was right in their own eyes. And interestingly, if you were to take the Hebrew phrase of what Samson is saying to his mom and dad, it's the same thing. It says, get her because she is right in my eyes. She is right in my eyes. Everybody seems to be doing what is right in their own eyes. Well, the next event in Samson's life is that famous incident with the lion, that lion that attacked. As Samson is traveling with his mom and dad, they obviously have buckled under his pressure to meet the fiancée. A lion roars and jumps out and attacks, but Samson, filled with the Spirit of God, it says, finishes that lion off as if it were only a goat. And I don't know, I don't think that in itself would be hard enough to tear it apart. But it says, as if it were only a goat. And he tears that lion apart, and like it was nothing. Well, apparently, he must have been walking behind at this time, away, a distance away, where there's a corner in the road or something, because he doesn't tell his mom and dad, his parents, about this incident. No one knows about the lion at this moment. On the return trip from meeting the girl, verse 8, it says there, and Samson strangely checks where the carcass of this lion is, and he looks in, only to discover at this moment that a beehive has formed, and there's honey within this carcass. So he scoops out the honey, he starts eating it, he gives some to his parents. Again, not telling his parents where he got the honey from. But why wouldn't he tell them where he got the honey from? You know, what's the big deal? It's a riddle as to why Samson is acting so secretively with his parents. Or is it, is the question. Well, we'll find out in the next set of events here. The wedding day has arrived. Verse 10. He throws a wedding feast that lasts a week. The Hebrew word used there usually refers to a drinking party. A drinking party. We don't know whether Samson himself drank wine or alcohol, but if he did, this Nazarite was breaking his vow. But then again, he was pretty good at breaking vows and the laws and the will of God. In answer to our question as to why Samson did not tell his parents where he got the honey from, the reason is because he got it from a dead carcass of a lion. Nazarites, remember, are not allowed to touch dead things. Remember? Dead things. Samson is doing that here. Samson's on a roll, if you will. Back to the wedding party. Back in those days, tradition had it that the groom would come up with this riddle, would give a riddle for the guests to figure out. Today we have our own skits and traditions and whatnot, but they had, as their part of their tradition, a riddle to tell, and you needed to figure it out. So he's, see if you can figure it out. Samson was so confident that you and they couldn't figure it out that he made a wager, he made a bet. Anyways, here's the riddle. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Of course, we have the benefit of hindsight. We have the benefit of Scripture. So we probably know what he's referring to in this, and that he's referring to that incident of the lion and the honey. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something is sweet. Something sweet. But those men and those women who were at the wedding party didn't have a clue about what was happening. So they threatened. They threatened the bride to burn down the house of her and her father, to actually take her life. So much for inviting a good crowd of friends to the wedding. Anyways, this is probably the strangest wedding. You know, he's off to some of the things he says, calls his wife a heifer. These are not good words here. Strangest wedding around. So these guests threaten to kill the bride rather than give gifts. Say, you need to tell us what this riddle is all about and get it from your husband and quickly. So she does. And I can imagine between the fourth and the seventh day, she starts begging on the fourth, fifth, sixth. And Samson wasn't given in. Finally, he gives in on the seventh day. Could you imagine what she was going through for a wedding party, or a wedding? Anyways, when the time came on the seventh day for the answer, these men answered with yet another riddle. They say to Samson, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And once he hears it, of course they got the answer, once he hears this, Samson realizes that his bride he calls her the heifer, his bride, had betrayed him. And so in a fit of rage, Samson goes berserk and kills 30 men, takes the robes, pays off his bet that way. As the life of Samson unfolds, we can see that Samson's life itself is a riddle. It's confusing how God's chosen man can act this way. But perhaps part of our confusion with Samson and the inconsistencies in his life is because we have not yet seen ourselves in the face of the mirror of this story. For in Samson, we see the worst part of ourselves. We have been so powerfully strengthened for service in God's purposes and kingdom. His spirit has been poured out not just on this Nazarite, but on us as well. Yet we break our vows, not Nazarite vows, but vows that we give to God. Our lives are inconsistencies. Our lives are riddles. So often we do what is right in our own eyes. Simply put, yes, our lives are a riddle as well. We can escape the stain of sin. We cannot escape that sin, stain, just like Samson cannot. By the way, do you know the answer to the second riddle that they threw at Samson? The riddle they, Philistines, gave him? What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Well, that's a tough one as well. Why? The answer is love. Love is the answer. Men not only gave the answer, but they also humiliated Samson by hinting at how they got it through his lover, through his wife. It seems like love is the riddle or is the key to Samson's life. Love towards this, his first bride, is sort of what undone him by giving in at the wedding. Love towards another wife later on in his life, Delilah. That undid him at that moment when he gave up his secret, again, to why he was so strong. Love proved too sweet, too strong for Samson. And because of that, he could not keep the secret to himself. Perhaps the greatest secret of this riddle we call Samson's life is another kind of love that proves to be even stronger and sweeter, the love of God. Here is the greatest riddle of all. God in his love towards Samson sticks with him. God gets things done even with this guy. How could God possibly have been overruling the course of the actions and the experiences of this failure, such as Samson, and somehow things in the end turned out just the way he wanted to? The people were delivered. And the reason is, it's because of love. God's love. That's why. And there's a message here for us as well. God does use us. He uses us right now in spite of our flaws, in spite of our weaknesses. He's the kind of God who uses flawed people as part of his regular kingdom agenda. No matter how conscious we are of our limitations, our shortcomings, our sins, we can look to God because he wants to use us. God sticks with us. God sticks with his church, even the way he stuck with Samson. Even the way he stuck with judge after judge after judge, king after king, prophet after prophet, and finally to the point where he got to his begotten son, Jesus Christ himself, the true deliverer, the true judge, the true savior. God remained faithful to us until it cost him his son, Jesus Christ, and that is what we celebrated here this morning. Question is, the riddle is, what is sweeter than honey and stronger than a lion? Why? Of course, love. Especially the love of God and Jesus.